Down comes, down comes the new bride's mother. What will I do with my daughter dear?
I know your daughter, she's not been called.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Around for today's Rachel Maddow Show with me, Rachel Maddow, coming up right after the news on the nation's Progressive Talk, Air America Radio.
This is Free Speech Radio News on AirAmerica.com.
I'm Shannon Young with the headlines. Japan's lower house of parliament forced through controversial anti-terror legislation today. Debate over the bill fueled a six-month-long standoff between the ruling party's coalition and the opposition, led by the Democratic Party of Japan. The opposition-controlled upper house voted down the measure earlier this week, but in a very rare move, the lower house passed the bill by a two-thirds margin, enough for Prime Minister Yasuo Fukuda to use a Japanese legal provision which allows the lower house to override an upper house decision. Today's two-thirds override was the first time legislation has been enacted in this way in Japan since 1951. The anti-terror legislation will allow Japanese forces to resume refueling support for U.S. ships involved in Afghan war operations. A Japanese Navy tanker and frigate escort are expected to return to the Indian Ocean blockade in 3 weeks. Radio frequency identification technology has been touted as a means to keep cargo and ports safe from terrorist attack, but a recent study casts doubts on that theory. Kelly Ramirez has the story.
An experiment conducted by Powers International, a transportation security and logistics firm, showed that a detonator built by a college student from about $20 worth of Radio Shack parts could pick up a signal from an RFID reader and set off a small explosive charge set in an empty container. What may be even more disturbing is the lack of cooperation and response to the experiment by several government agencies. Dr. Jim Jamansky is chairman of Powers International.
We even had the local port director in Charlotte, North Carolina, who declined to participate, who declined to attend. We were in many ways impeded by CBP with requests we made to use one of their proximity readers, and same thing with the Department of Defense. Oh, we can't let you use our stuff, and, you know, we've tried everything.
Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat of Texas, of the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security, plans to investigate the Department of Homeland Security's lack of response to the Powers study. For FSRN, I'm Kelly Ramirez.
And those are the headlines. I'm Shannon Young.
For more free speech radio news, visit FSRN.org. This is AirAmerica.com.
This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmericaRadio.com.
On the next Theatre Pigeon Lionel show, I promise I will eventually stop talking about Chris Matthews, finally, but after just a few moments taking credit for predicting his collapse before anyone else, complimented by the thorough analysis from our good friends at Media Matters. Man, the list of quotes they found amazing. Plus, Dana Milbank will join me to dissect the inside of the Washington Beast and stuff, plenty of stuff, the likes of which you cannot imagine even if you are on government-provided LSD on the Lionel show.
Are you being hunted down by the IRS? Have they put liens on your home and bank account? Are you facing wage garnishments and more taxes than you could ever afford to pay? You can end this nightmare today. Get ready to write down a number that will give you the power to stand up to the IRS. One quick free call to Power Tax Relief is the beginning of the end of your IRS nightmare. Power Tax Relief has saved thousands of Americans millions of dollars. If you're afraid of losing everything, don't wait another day. Don't delay another hour. Call Power Tax Relief right now. Here's that number. 1-888-931-5511. That's your direct line to Power Tax Relief. Now you have the power to stand up to the IRS and end your tax nightmare. Call 1-888-931-5511. That's 1-888-931-5511. Call Power Tax Relief, the most trusted name in tax relief, because the relief is real. 1-888-931-5511. Call now.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow. Are you fed up with cleaning your floors, tired of messy mops and buckets, sick of spending a fortune on replacement chemical cleaning pads? Well, now there's a solution. It's the Shark Steam Mop, the fastest, easiest, best way to deep clean the floors in your home. The Shark Steam Mop obliterates tough grime on tile floors. It eradicates stubborn dirt on linoleum and vinyl. It even melts away sticky, dried up messes. I use it. I love it. There's no mess that the Shark Steam Mop can't handle. It works on all types of floor surfaces all around your home, even on hardwood. The Shark Steam Mop uses superheated steam and a special steam-activated microfiber cleaning pad to loosen, lift, and clean up dirt. And at only four easy payments of $19.95, it costs less than I spend on chemical cleaners. Get yours by calling 1-800-733-1106 or go online to sharkhomecare.com. Go ahead and try the Shark Steam Mop risk-free for 60 days. If you don't love it, they'll send you your money back. Call 1-800-733-1106 or visit sharkhomecare.com.
Call now for home delivery of the New York Times.
I can get everything I...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with, and you're invited to participate too. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You call in anytime you want. 888-573-8372. Later this hour, the Democratic presidential candidate from 1972 will be our guest, former Senator George McGovern. Also this hour, we're going to get a report live from Detroit, Michigan. The Michigan primary is coming up soon, and it's a wacky one. And Tony Trupiano, former congressional candidate, former progressive talk show host, now a restaurateur. He'll be joining us unless he is slammed in the kitchen. Also on today's program, expert commentary on our situation and relationship with Iran. Shrita Parsi, the president of the National Iranian American Council, the author of a book called Treacherous Alliance. He'll be joining us in our second hour today. And there are loads of questions about the way the votes were counted in New Hampshire the other night. Brad Friedman, our election protection expert from bradblog.com, will be here as usual in our third and final hour today. We'll take on those controversies. And I just got word moments before we went on the air that Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who filed a request for a hand recount, has had that request granted. We'll get the details with Brad coming up in a couple of hours. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Use it. See what happens. Robert Perry broke many of the Iran-Contra stories back in the 80s. He writes now on his own printing press. It's a virtual one at consortiumnews.com. And together with two of his sons, he is co-author of a powerful new book called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob Perry, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing better.
Well, good.
My cough is going away, finally.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of moving through that almost collectively, and it's a bit of a relief. Well, Bob, you posted some interesting items at Consortium News this week, and one of them I only knew a little bit about. I heard about this taunt of iron my shirts that came out of a crowd at a Hillary Clinton rally in New Hampshire. But it takes on greater significance now, given her victory, a victory that defied the predictions of the polls, and it appears to conflict with some of the exit polls, although we're going to talk about that later. There are some issues about the quality of exit polling that was conducted for the New Hampshire primaries. But clearly, we know from the turnout that larger numbers than expected of women came out and voted for Hillary Clinton. And that people are still speculating on what caused this apparent dramatic turnaround. And these two guys were working for a shock jock radio show out of Boston, and they came to a rally and gave her a kind of sister soldier moment, if we remember Bill in the 92 campaign.
Right. These are two guys that I guess you might call them loser guys. They're kind of like doing a jackass moment. They were trying to be funny, I guess. And they so they started this little chant of iron my shirts, and Hillary Clinton, I think, played it fairly deftly. She had the lights in the auditorium turned up, and then she looked down at these two guys and said, sexism, remnants of sexism alive and well. And as the two characters are being escorted from the auditorium, she then escalated her assessment, making it kind of a case study of what she confronts, and said, as we've just seen in abundance, this is what I'm fighting as I try to break through the highest and hardest glass ceiling, the presidency. And she received a standing ovation, and it was considered by some of the Clinton people to be an important moment. There have been other moments that preceded it. Earlier in the day, there had been the cheering up incident where she drew a good deal of sympathy from both men and women for seeming more human.
Mm-hmm.
And there was on the Saturday before, there was the debate where there was a feeling that among some that the male journalists were too harsh on her. There was one question given to her about why are you so unlikable, and then I think Barack Obama didn't really help himself when he said something to the effect that, I think you're likable enough, Hillary. So there was this sort of building, kind of, it wasn't really much a perfect storm of feminist sentiment, but kind of a perfect squall. It came on very quickly. And it was in some ways crystallized by these two guys who did the iron my shirts comment. And we later found out that they were identified. And I did some research on this the next day, or on Wednesday.
Yes, somebody had to. Thank you, Bob.
It wasn't pleasant, believe me. But so I even actually tuned into their radio show at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And it started out with the host mentioning this guy Adolfo Gonzalez, who was one of the guys, and said who single-handedly changed the course of American politics. But then instead of explaining much more about that, they launched into a segment about making fun of afros worn by black baseball players. It's that kind of quality show.
Yeah.
And But I went to the website, and Adolfo Gonzalez has his little photo there, and there are fun facts about Adolfo. He weighs 345 pounds. He didn't talk until he was five. He's never had health insurance. He has a very messy room, et cetera, et cetera. He's the kind of guy that isn't exactly the representative of powerful male efforts to block women from top jobs. He's essentially a loser who thought he was being funny.
Well, and Bob, unfortunately, he has a very bright future in radio broadcasting because we saw. Do you remember the famous Clinton haircut? He had a stylist come aboard Air Force One while it was parked at LAX,
yes,
and all flights were stopped while the president had a haircut. Well, a couple of wacky DJs in San Francisco decided that they would replicate this. So they stopped traffic in the middle of morning rush hour on the Bay Bridge. In the station van was the equivalent of this guy Gonzalez. His name is Chuy Gomez, and he's now a big radio star in San Francisco. And Chuy sat there. They threw open the doors of the van, and he got a haircut. While traffic backed up, one woman gave birth during this huge traffic jam. and it resulted in huge lawsuits. And Mancow, the host who was presiding over all this, and presumably it was his harebrained idea, he's now making $6 million with a syndicated shock show that originates in Chicago every day. So I think Mr. Gonzalez here felt that he was making a great investment in his career.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure he could really think it through that far. He doesn't seem to be that bright. But but anyway, he did have an effect on American politics, it appears.
Yeah.
The Clinton people think that this really energized the many of the, especially working-class women of New Hampshire, who felt very, perhaps more sensitive than maybe others might have about that kind of insensitivity from mm-hmm. men. And they turned out in very large numbers for Hillary Clinton. And the Clinton people who had the same exit polls early on that the rest of us did, showing Obama winning,
mm-hmm.
were surprised that things turned around later in the day as some of this sank in. This was not very well... This was not shown a lot nationally, but this incident was shown a great deal on New Hampshire TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that had an impact.
And, you know, Bob, when I first saw the footage of Hillary's emotional commentary with the choking up, I really thought it was going to sink her. I thought it was going to create a kind of vulnerability that would cause her to be derided by Rush Limbaugh and the hard right. And I thought this was going to be like the Dean scream, the thing that she could never escape. So I count myself among those surprised that she was able to capitalize off that that moment as opposed to, being hammered for it.
Well, I think this is a very delicate issue, the whole question of gender and, of course, race, because of Obama being the first African-American to be in this kind of position vis-a-vis the presidency. So you have a very delicate and possibly dangerous situation for the Democrats, because this, if one side or the other starts playing the gender or race card too much, it could lead, first of all, to anger among other parts of the Democratic constituency, and it could lead to the kind of backlash you're talking about from the right, where the Democrats are simply portrayed as people who want to be victims. So it's a very risky moment, and Hillary, I think, has to be, in a sense, admired for her clever and effective use of the gender card, and she's used it before, too. Remember, there was in November when she had a tough debate. She went to Wellesley University
mm-hmm.
and made the point about, again, this the all-boys club. So, but it is a dangerous thing, and you saw it with Gloria Steinem's op-ed in the New York Times, which was pretty almost offensive, where it basically said that black men have had it easier regarding their political situation and economically than women.
Mm-hmm.
And she based it on the fact that black men got the vote earlier after the Civil War, but she left out the issue of segregation, lynchings, and Jim Crow laws that went on, well into the 20th century and that were only addressed in the 1960s. So this kind of who's the bigger victim is a very delicate and dangerous way to get into politics.
Yeah, it's a comparative misery, historical division, and these things are really hard to parse and predict as to how they will affect people and, in turn, how that will affect their decision of who to vote for. We're going to take a break, talk more with Bob Perry about identity politics and its role in the current campaign. And if you have a question or a comment about the outcome of the New Hampshire vote, give us a call now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. Former Senator George McGovern joins us about 10 minutes or so from now, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is an important message from Brian McGuff, Iraq War veteran and Purple Heart recipient.
More and more troops and veterans in Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, September 26th.
Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. They never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. My belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. And so you have the guts to call me a phony soldier in my face. Stop telling lies about my service.
Tell Rush Limbaugh to stop insulting America's troops and veterans. Call 800-282-2882. Paid for by Vote Vets Action Fund.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Note to shock jocks, next time you want your shirts ironed, say please. And no starch. Minutes after the hour, as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, journalist Robert Perry with us. Visit his website at consortiumnews.com, where you can get the articles that we're talking about and a whole lot more. And as I mentioned, coming up about 10 minutes from now, former Senator George McGovern will join us. He wrote an op-ed calling for impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Isn't that novel? Lorene in Oakland, listening to Green 960. Welcome to the PBC show. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I was just calling to say that I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
The way the Clintons have been so negative in the last couple of campaigns, I'm a Democrat, and I felt like whoever won the party's nod, mm-hmm, would go for for it.
Okay.
But at this point, if she got it, I probably just wouldn't even vote.
Really?
I would.
Huh.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, everyone's saying that Mr. Obama has done something, but he hasn't been negative at all. You know, he's been above the fray. He's been very cordial.
I felt that he waited too long to even contrast his positions with other candidates. So I agree with you. I think Obama has been extremely careful and avoided any kind of personal attacks.
Exactly. Even in the debate. And I feel that, you know, his message is to bring people together,
mm-hmm.
period. It's not about dividing. And a lot of the talk shows that I've heard, that's what's going on.
And, Laureen, is it Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, or you just kind of lump them together and...
Yeah, it's a package.
It's a package.
And, I mean, you know, it's time for a change because mm-hmm. once it's Bush, Clinton, Bush, and then it'll be Jeb Bush after that.
Oh, God,
so,
spare me.
What can we say? But anyway.
And Bob Perry will be able to write books for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
Bob, what's your comment on Laureen's remarks?
Well, I think she's speaking for a lot of people. There's the Clintons and the Bushes have had this sort of tag team thing going for a while. And it's not just that one wins and the other wins, but there's also kind of a coziness. There was a remark that Bill Clinton made a few weeks ago. When he was asked what first thing his wife would do, and he said the first thing that Hillary Clinton would do as president would be to send him, Bill Clinton, and George H.W. Bush off on a worldwide fence mending tour
mm-hmm.
To talk to leaders around the world. And it suggested again this idea that the Bushes and the Clintons were essentially in the same back scratching relationship, and there is this whole problem of do they really get it, that the country's bigger than just these two families passing power back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
And see, I believe this, too, that if it wasn't for the fact that Obama's skin was darker,
mm-hmm.
He would definitely be the one.
Yeah, if his name was O'Murphy.
Whatever. You know, but he would be... not because he's black, but he would be the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, but because his skin is dark, that will be his downfall. And America, I mean, they've already chosen 8 years of crap.
Of stupid white guys.
Yeah. And, I mean,
all right, Laureen,
the same thing over and over again and expecting a change.
Laureen, thank you for your call. I'm glad you got up your nerve and got over your nervousness. Call me again, will you?
Uh-huh.
All right, I appreciate that. 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Bob, one of the other factors here that I want to air out a little bit, and we got a minute here, is relating to the expectations that were created by the polls as reported in the media. And it appeared that Obama was surging and was going to cakewalk with a 13-point lead over Clinton. And I think that some people resented the media's coronation and also kind of said, well, I guess Obama doesn't need me. And I want to keep this race alive, so maybe I'll just throw a bone to Hillary right now.
I think there's some truth to that, Peter. I think there may have been a sense that this thing shouldn't be over so quick. And I'm not sure it's the worst thing for Obama that he has to prove himself in a tougher, longer primary. He does need to flesh out some of his positions. He needs to show he can take a punch and recover, because he'll certainly get them from the Republicans in a general election if he gets that far.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. Well, Bob, thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Robert Perry, read all about him at consortiumnews.com. It's a great website, a lot of good reporting going on there. We're going to take a break and return. George McGovern, Democratic standard bearer, ran for president in 1972. I proudly voted for him. He'll be joining us to talk about his position on impeaching Bush and Cheney. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The top of the Democratic race is all tied up with union households being credited for giving Hillary Clinton the win in New Hampshire and Barack Obama in Iowa. Heading into the Nevada caucuses on January 19th, Obama is hoping for two key endorsements to push him ahead. Jesse Russell reports.
Two of the largest unions in Nevada have thrown their support behind Illinois Senator Barack Obama in the race for the Democratic presidential nominee. Both the Service Employees International Union Nevada and the Culinary Workers Union announced their endorsements on Wednesday morning, just hours after Clinton defeated Obama in New Hampshire. For the SEIU, the decision came down to former North Carolina Senator John Edwards and Obama. Communication Director Hillary Haycock.
Barack Obama is the candidate who has, you know, the vision for change that our nation needs. We need to start coming together and really grappling with the issues that are facing working families from.
Pilar Weiss said the culinary workers are inspired by Obama's background with organizing and his mission to bring people together.
He's really focused on organizing people together, both in his work as a community organizer in Chicago, but also in his campaign. And we have a lot of diversity in our union, and we're really inspired by his ability to bring people together.
Combined, the two unions bring nearly 80,000 members to the election, and both expressed they are looking forward to using their skills in organizing to get out the vote.
U.S. District Judge Robert Cleland has issued an order blocking UAW retirees from scrutinizing documents detailing the health care trust deal between the United Auto Workers and General Motors. The union agreed to take on responsibility for retiree health care by creating a trust fund known as a VEBA. In return for payments of roughly $55 billion, the UAW agreed to let the U.S. auto companies off the hook for future health care obligations, amounting to $88 billion. Mark Bomkel, a lawyer representing some retired GM workers fighting to block the health care changes, alleges that retirees' vested health benefits were unlawfully negotiated away by current UAW leadership. The order conceals testimony, documents, and other evidence in the case. Pennsylvania's leading organization of registered nurses and other health care professionals, the Pennsylvania Association of Staff Nurses and Allied Professionals, will announce today that it is affiliating with the California Nurses Association National Nurses Organizing Committee. That affiliation will unite two of the fastest-growing healthcare unions in the country. Here's today's economic report. The country's largest mortgage lenders said Wednesday that foreclosures and late payments have hit a record in December. Countrywide said 1.44% of the 9 million mortgages it collects foreclosed in December. That's twice as many as in 2006. The rate of late payments also hit 7.2%. It was 4.6% a year before. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Senator George McGovern joins us right now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he supports impeachment for Bush and Cheney.
Power.
George McGovern served three terms as senator from South Dakota. He was the standard bearer for Democrats in 1972. Mr. McGovern, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter. I've got to tell you, I got myself caught up in a meeting here, so I can only go a very short time, but I'm glad to be on your program.
Well, Senator, when you need to go, you let me know, and we'll just make it all work. I invited you on the program today, first of all, to discuss the New Hampshire primary, but then I saw the op-ed that you published in the Washington Post just a few days ago. And in it, you stated that you decided not to support impeachment for Dick Nixon because it would have appeared too partisan at the time, or sour grapes on your part.
Mm-hmm.
But you have decided at this point that you think this is a critical move. Tell us why.
Well, I don't think Congress is going to move on impeachment. Bush only has another year to serve. A lot of people are running for office. We've got all these presidential contests going on. I don't think there's any mood to push for impeachment. But I thought that somebody ought to say clearly that Bush and Cheney have been guilty of impeachable offenses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very strong case that could be made for impeachment. I personally think stronger than the case that was made against Richard Nixon back in 1972 after that election.
I would agree.
But, yeah, I think, you know, Nixon deserved to be impeached, and he took his medicine like a man, but these folks have taken us into an entirely unjustified war, an illegal war. You can't jump on some country simply because you don't like them. Iraq had done nothing against the United States after President Bush Sr. Pushed them out of Kuwait and put up safeguards against any further move like that. They were no threat to us, and yet we go to war against them. No declaration of war, which the Constitution calls for, and no real reason other than Bush was unhappy about Saddam Hussein. So I think that that's an impeachable offense, and Congress should have moved at the time on that.
And Senator, I am so frustrated because I have held this position for at least a year and a half. In fact, I credit Cindy Sheehan as she was on her way to Crawford, Texas in the summer of 2005. And she had a little talk with me because I was resisting impeachment at the time. I said that there simply isn't enough support for it. And she said, well, remember when it was first started to be talked about against Nixon, there wasn't bipartisan support, but the investigations led to that. And ultimately it forced him from office. He chose to resign instead of confronting the specter of impeachment. But here we have Democratic leaders who were newly empowered with majorities who chose to, quote unquote, take it off the table. And while I never believe that it should have been priority one, I feel that it is important to send a message to future elected officials in this country and a message to the world at large that the American citizenry does not tolerate intentional lawbreaking and violation of the oaths of office by our top officials.
Well, that's why I spoke out. Not that I expect it to lead to the impeachment of Mr. Bush. And by the way, I should tell you, I'm a friend of his father. So this was not any personal vendetta that prompted me to speak out. But I think it is good for some people in either in office or well-recognized in the country to make clear that we recognize impeachable offenses when we see them. Ms. Sheehan was right in what she told you. I also resisted calls for impeachment several years ago because I just thought there was no mood in the country to sustain it. And that's probably still true even yet. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't point out the shortcomings of this administration. I wonder how many Americans know that President Bush Sr., his Secretary of State, Jim Baker, and his National Security Advisor, General Scowcroft, all opposed the invasion of Iraq ordered by President Bush Jr.
Yeah.
I made that point in my article, and I think people need to understand that this is an unusual kind of leadership we're getting now that has lowered America's position in the eyes of the world to an all-time low.
Yes. And sir, again, you know, do you believe that it was an option for Pelosi and Reid to decide whether or not to pursue this? I believe the Constitution is quite clear, and that there is an imperative here, once there is a suspicion of impeachable offenses, that they be investigated. And people get confused about the terminology, but of course the first stage is for the House Judiciary Committee to evaluate the charges, investigate them, seek evidence and testimony. And we didn't even take that first step.
That's correct. I think our Democratic leaders just felt they didn't have the votes. You know, it takes a bipartisan majority to carry out impeachment. And I think they decided they just didn't have the votes to carry through on this. A great many of the Democrats were opposed to any kind of impeachment procedure. So I don't blame Nancy Pelosi, and I don't blame Senator Reid. They took a head count on this and other things, and they're really probably representing majority opinion in the House and Senate. Mm-hmm. Peter, I'm going to have to run now.
All right, Senator. Well, I appreciate your time today, and we'll call you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That's George McGovern. As we mentioned, he ran for president as the Democratic nominee in 1972. He is now in his mid-80s and retired in Florida, but certainly has not lost his interest in our nation, our Constitution, and the issues that he just discussed. I did want to talk to him about New Hampshire because, of course, he placed second in New Hampshire to Senator Ed Muskie of Maine in the 1972 primary. And it was an outburst of emotion by Ed Muskie. He was being smeared and attacked by the Republican attack machinery. And he actually, you know, broke down in tears in the snows of New Hampshire. And that was pretty much the end of his campaign. And it was that moment that I recalled when Hillary Clinton choked up famously now in New Hampshire earlier this week. And so it's very interesting to see how 35 or so years intervening can make such a critical difference. So I do appreciate the senator's comments on impeachment. As you know, I believe that this is an important task, even if it doesn't result in the removal of the president or vice president from office. And I'm deeply frustrated that the Democrats frittered away so much time in 2007, because now, practically speaking, it is too late. What would be the purpose of sidetracking people and devoting time and resources to an impeachment process when we know that absent martial law or some other power grab, I wouldn't entirely rule that out. But if Bush and Cheney play by the rules, then we should feel comfortable that a year and a week from now, they will be gone. And there may be other ways to hold them accountable for their misdeeds in office. But as I suggested to Senator McGovern, my belief is that we have to make a clear statement here that American citizens here in 2008 look at the behavior of Bush and Cheney. Look at their intentional lawbreaking. Yes, they intentionally broke the law many times. The most egregious and clear-cut is related to spying on American citizens under the FISA law, which they routinely broke. And, of course, we know they've collected all kinds of data, intercepted our phone calls and our emails. And I believe that that is a gross and clear violation of the law. Unfortunately, we have Democrats like Senator Feinstein of California who have been busy working to paper over the law breaking and give a backdated form of amnesty, not only to the phone companies who colluded with the Bush-Cheney team, but also to the key leaders of the administration. And I just think that's shameful. I really do. Let's dip into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives and take you back to the time when Dick Nixon was president and George McGovern was on the ascendance. Watergate was the defining episode of the time.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. At our convention, Miami, FLA. A campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate.
And Martha Mitchell says, do, 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 do. Re-election committees, never ever give it away. Everybody has to pay and pay. Let me make this perfectly clear. It can't be denied. My fellow Americans, I've got nothing to hide. Say, ain't it great? I said, hey, Sparrow, make a date with the Watergate. I said, hey, Joe, make a date with the Watergate. Yeah. Martha Mitchell. She say, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That's my old buddy John Records Landecker, a DJ from Chicago. That's a pretty convincing Nixon. With apologies to Lou Reed on that one. William in Santa Cruz is on the line at 888-5-PETER-B. Welcome. You're on the air, William.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I wanted to agree with you about, unfortunately, it probably really is too late to impeach the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
However, they are lawbreakers. And we are a nation that claims to hold up the rule of law. So I believe they should get legal consequences for having broken the law. They've broken, in my opinion, the most serious law you can break, starting an illegal war, causing the deaths of hundreds of thousands or millions of people, using up so much national treasure and then the torture and the spying on them. And these are all laws
that
they've broken.
Right.
And they should get legal consequences. I'm just afraid that... Just no one's going to have the stomach for it. No one's going to have the stomach, you know. I mean,
William, there's important insurance over there at the Supreme Court in the form of Roberts and Alito and Scalia and Thomas.
Right.
All it takes is one more vote, and you can block any kind of criminal proceedings or civil proceedings that might be lodged against Bush or Cheney or the team after they leave office.
It's just tragic. It's just, you know, it's just such a shame. Following the rule of law is so important to our society. It always has been. And these guys are just literally getting away with mass murder.
Yeah. Thank you, William. Appreciate that call today. We're going to take a break and return. We're going to go to Detroit and talk to Tony Truppiano about the upcoming Michigan primary. It's wacky. Did you know that only Kucinich and Clinton of the Democratic candidates are on the ballot in Michigan? We'll explain why and speculate about how it might roll out. That's coming up next with Tony Truppiano joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join the conversation now, lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You love organic vegetables and fruit, right? So drink organic wine. Log on to ecowine.com or call them toll-free at 1-888-ECO-WINE. That's ECOWINE. Well, you can tell this is a live radio show. We scheduled Senator McGovern, and he double-parked and had some people at the house or a meeting or something and had to bow out early. And I arranged to talk with my friend Tony Truppiano. Many of you are familiar with his name. He's filled in for me. He's filled in for Ed Schultz. And he used to have a national syndicated progressive talk show back in the days when we were both on IE America Radio. That was a radio network based in Detroit and owned by the United Auto Workers. And Tony is a lifetime Motown guy. And because of various things, he ran for Congress 2 years ago and was unsuccessful in unseating an incumbent Republican, Thaddeus I can't remember the guy's last name. And Tony has returned to his first career, which is the restaurant business. And he has a new restaurant, which is called Good Eats, in Wyandotte, Michigan. That's a suburb of Detroit. And he is in the kitchen right now, where it's almost 7 o'clock Eastern time. And he's slammed. He's making meatloafs, and I think he told me that it's fish fry night at Good Eats, and so he had to wave us off, too busy to talk to us. But the Michigan primary is scheduled for January 15, next week, and it's going to be a weird one, because on the Republican side, there are no real issues. All of the people who, I think, everybody who ran in New Hampshire is on the ballot for the Republicans in Michigan, where Mitt Romney is seen as a favorite son. His dad was governor for two or three terms back in the 60s. And, of course, Mitt remembers a march that his dad, Hugh Romney, is that right, conducted with Martin Luther King that never actually occurred. But despite that nostalgia and selective recall of Mitt Romney's, it does appear that he's in good position to do well, if not win, the Michigan primary on the Republican side. But on the Democratic side, it's going to be very strange. Now, two states got dinged by the Democratic National Committee because their primaries got moved up in advance of, I think they weren't allowed to move sooner than February 5th. And so Florida and Michigan have been, shall we say, chastised, if not disciplined, by the Democratic National Committee. And I don't know the particulars in Michigan. I was hoping that Tony would fill us in. I do know in Florida that a Republican governor and a Republican-controlled legislature moved the date up, and the Democrats really couldn't do much about it. Still, the Washington Democrats punished the Florida Democrats by saying that the candidates will not campaign. They urged them not even to go on the ballot. And I believe in Florida, many of them, like Edwards and Clinton and Obama, are on the ballot, but they have not campaigned in Florida, and I believe they're not running any campaign commercials. And so that makes it a very, very delicate situation and unpredictable, because we don't know how voters will respond if they haven't seen the candidates and they haven't seen the advertising. In Michigan, initially, I believe all the Democrats accepted the decree from Howard Dean and the Democratic National Committee. And what I don't know is how Clinton and Kucinich wound up as the only two Democrats on the ballot in the Democratic primary in Michigan. The other penalty that they will face is that whatever delegates they're assigned, they only get to take 50% to the convention. So that waters down any benefit that they get from winning Florida or Michigan. So what Tony told me when I talked to him earlier today is that many Democrats may cross over, it's an open primary system in Michigan, and vote for Mitt Romney as kind of messing with the Republicans and giving him kind of a false advantage coming out of Michigan. I don't know how that will play out, and I don't know exactly how many Democrats might actually go forward and take that step. But it could produce an interesting result for Dennis Kucinich, because if he is the only candidate on the ballot besides Hillary, and there is a large anti-Hillary vote or an anybody-but-Hillary vote, then Dennis Kucinich might come up with a surprise margin or maybe even a strong second-place showing, or who knows, he could even garner votes over Hillary Clinton. And that would be very interesting. So, sorry we didn't get to talk to Tony, but we do have Mike on the line from Sacramento. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of stuff going on this week that I'm hoping that we'll be around in November and not under martial law. But did you see the thing over in the Straits of Hormuz with the Iranians?
Yes, indeed. And next... Mike,
sounded like Count Chocula was trying to attack the U.S. Navy.
Well, not only that, Mike, we have a YouTube battle underway because the Iranians say that the American video was doctored, and the Americans say that the Iranian video was doctored. And so we're going to get some expert commentary on that next hour from Trita Parsi. He's a former congressional aide. In fact, he used to be an advisor to Bob Ney, and he can't give Bob advice anymore because Bob's in the slammer. But he is a brilliant guy who is also president of the National Iranian American Council. So we'll get more on that for you next hour, okay?
Yeah, isn't it too bad that you can't believe what the American government says any more than you can the Iranians anymore?
It is.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that Bush was over in Israel this week, and apparently he was over there telling Netanyahu that, yeah, we'll support any kind of Israeli first strike, a nuclear strike, on the Iranians. And also, when he was over there, he was talking about how sad it was that the Americans hadn't bombed Auschwitz back during World War II, How could we have not done that? And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe a better question would be, well, maybe... why was your granddad an out-and-out Nazi? You know, maybe we would have bombed Auschwitz if we wouldn't have had guys like that around.
Let's not play fast and loose with the facts. His grandfather made money off the Nazi war machine, but I don't think it's fair to say he was an out-and-out Nazi.
Well, he was darn sure sympathetic what was going on over there and handling the Brown Brothers Harriman books for Hitler.
You are correct.
Slave labor in the Ruhr.
Yes,
you know,
I don't know how much more
you would have to go.
He profited from it.
Was an out-and-out Nazi.
I think that's still too far. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call. We're going to take more calls in the next half hour, and I've got a couple of free DVDs for the new movie Uncounted that we'll give out to a couple of lucky callers. So join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Consultation, 1-888-369-4466. If you have over $12,000 in credit card debt, they can cut the amount you owe and get you out of debt. Call Debt Settlement USA right now. 1-888-369-4466. 1-888-369-4466. That's 1-888-369-4466.
There's more of today's Rachel Maddow Show coming up in just a few minutes. So sit tight and stay tuned to your home for Progressive Talk, Air America Radio.
This is Free Speech Radio News on AirAmerica.com.
I'm Shannon Young with the headlines. A team of doctors has announced that the health of Indonesia's former dictator has taken a turn for the worse, 1 week after he was hospitalized in critical condition. Chad Bouchard reports from Jakarta.
Doctors say the 86-year-old former dictator suffered multiple organ failure and became unconscious today after showing early signs of infection in his lungs. His condition improved slightly after a blood transfusion and kidney dialysis earlier this week, but deteriorated quickly today and has been placed on a ventilator. Surgeons say he needs a second pacemaker, but his condition is too frail to risk the operation. After 32 years of authoritarian rule, Suharto was forced out of office in 1998 amid a financial crisis and allegations of graft. He is accused of killing or jailing thousands of political opponents and stealing an estimated $15 to $35 billion. Suharto has denied the allegations. A series of minor strokes and declining health has kept him out of courtrooms in spite of several attempts to bring him to trial. His political party earlier this week called for prosecutors to drop pending cases against him, but the nation's attorney general refused. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Chad Bouchard in Jakarta.
California state prosecutors have formally dropped conspiracy charges against four of the San Francisco Eight. The eight men are charged with the 1971 murder of a police officer. A ninth man, charged only with conspiracy, was able to walk free from the San Francisco courthouse yesterday. All of the San Francisco Eight are former members of the Black Panther Party. The same murder and conspiracy charges they now face were dropped in 1975 after their signed confessions were deemed inadmissible due to evidence of coercion and torture. The defendants entered formal not guilty pleas yesterday, nearly 1 year after the charges reemerged. The next hearing is scheduled for February 7th. In other legal news, the only officer convicted in the Abu Ghraib torture scandal has been cleared of all wrongdoing. Former head of the prison's interrogation unit, Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Jordan, was found guilty, not of torture, but of disobeying a command not to discuss the investigation. The military judge presiding over the case dismissed the conviction this week and replaced it with an administrative reprimand. And those are the headlines. I'm Shannon Young.
For more Free Speech Radio news, visit FSRN.org. This is AirAmerica.com.
You're tuned to the nation's progressive talk, AirAmericaRadio.com.
Hey, this this is Rachel Maddow. Are you fed up with cleaning your floors, tired of messy mops and buckets, sick of spending a fortune on replacement chemical cleaning pads? Well, now there's a solution. It's the Shark Steam Mop, the fastest, easiest, best way to deep clean the floors in your home. The Shark Steam Mop obliterates tough grime on tile floors. It eradicates stubborn dirt on linoleum and vinyl. It even melts away sticky, dried up messes. I use it. I love it. There's no mess that the Shark Steam Mop can't handle. It works on all types of floor surfaces all around your home, even on hardwood. The Shark Steam Mop uses superheated steam and a special steam-activated microfiber cleaning pad to loosen, lift, and clean up dirt. And at only four easy payments of $19.95, it costs less than I spend on chemical cleaners. Get yours by calling 1-800-733-1106 or go online to sharkhomecare.com. Go ahead and try the Shark Steam Mop risk-free for 60 days. If you don't love it, they'll send you your money back. Call 1-800-733-1106 or visit sharkhomecare.com.
Call now for home delivery of the New York Times.
I can get everything I need to know from the New York Times.
It's thought-provoking.
It helps keep me inspired.
More prepared for the week.
In the know.
What people are talking about.
The big picture.
The New York Times tells me in depth what I want to know.
It gives me an edge.
It opens my eyes.
It engages you.
You're always learning something new that you couldn't really get anywhere else.
Click on the web banner in your player to get home delivery of the New York Times at a discount of up to 50%. Visit nytimes.com or click on the web banner right now to get your subscription today.
The Lionel Show.
Right now, your cell phone, if it is on, they could track you down, roughly, from tower to tower. This is now information that we're allowing people to pick up on. When do you say no? You don't have tokens anymore in subways or buses. You just swipe it. Tells me where you are. Easy pass systems, right? How far do you go? Does this scare you?
The Lionel Show on Air America.
Your debt is getting out of control. You're having trouble making the monthly minimums. Sound familiar? You have to do something, but what? Well, you don't have to file for bankruptcy. The mortgage brokers want you to put up your family home to pay off credit card debts. Problem is that more often than not, you find yourself using the credit cards again. Only this time there's no equity left in your home, and you have a whole new pile of credit card debt. It doesn't have to be this way. We're Credit Card Relief. We help people just like you get out of debt in months instead of years.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It is useless to resist us.
And in so many cases, that makes us irresistible. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We're live from San Francisco in so many cases. Lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We've got room for your calls up till the bottom of the hour. Then we're going to talk about the little showdown in the Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz. Trita Parsi will join us. He's the president of the National Iranian American Council a little bit later this hour. And next hour, our regular weekly hour with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're going to take a look at questions that have been raised about the New Hampshire voting process, the outcome, the exit polls, the pre-election polls, and see what we come up with. I think it'll be a fascinating conversation. And I want to take a moment right here to welcome some new listeners to the expanding universe of the Peter B. Collins Show. This is our first broadcast today on KMPT 930 AM in Missoula, Montana. That's a brand new progressive talk station, and we're delighted that more stations are converting to progressive talk. And we're glad to be on in Missoula, where I can say hi to my friends Nancy Walton and Doug Wendt. And I hope that you will be my vice presidents of marketing and spread the word and let people know. You're hearing a broadcast that originated on Friday and that airs on Saturdays in Missoula from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Likewise, our listeners in Portland, Oregon, are hearing a broadcast on Sunday that was originating on Friday. I hope all that makes sense to you. And in Missoula and Portland, the best way you can contact me is using my email. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. You can also address it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Or if you think I'm full of it, use that. Full of it at peterbcollins.com. Any one of those addresses will reach me, and I'd love to hear from you wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. This program is also heard in San Francisco, Sacramento, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Coos Bay, and also in Eureka. And lots of people listen online, too, and I'm grateful for that. Before we go to some phone calls here, I just want to correct something from yesterday, because when I make a mistake, I like to admit it. The gentleman at the Central, or who was at the Central Intelligence Agency, who authorized the destruction of the videotapes of the torture of Abu Zubaydah and other so-called high-value detainees, is Jose Rodriguez. And yesterday, I was mixed up, and I called him Gonzalez. And that was my mistake, and I apologize. And we do have the official Peter B. Collins apology chorus ready to roll here.
Excuse me.
Steve in Monterey, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter B.
How are you?
Yeah, not well, a little irate.
Okay.
Yeah, you brought up the Bush and his little Dick Cheney friend, and, you know, after 08 happens and he's out of office and these Marines come back, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we could get 10,000 Marines, go and get Bush and his little Dick Cheney and bring him over to The Hague and then have him put him on trial.
Well, there's only one problem.
What's that?
We do not, we are not signers of the International Criminal Court.
How do we get on?
Well, perhaps the next president could correct that.
Oh, that would be great.
But it's one of the intentional moves by Bush. When he came into office, he had the option of signing on to the International Criminal Courts. And son of a gun, he offered the argument that U.S. troops who serve in foreign lands might be subject to unfair prosecution. And that's why the U.S. would not join the rest of the world in a common tribunal for lawbreakers.
Well, can we get him after him and Cheney? Can we get them after we get a Democrat president in power? Can we go after them financially for stealing all of the money from Americans and also for war crimes? Can we get them finally?
Let me just be honest that I'm not a lawyer, and I believe there are ways to do so. For example, earlier this week we talked to Valerie Plame Wilson, and she and her husband Joe have filed a civil suit that is being managed by our friend Melanie Sloan at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. That's called CREW. And they are suing Cheney, Rove, Scooter Libby, the others who were clearly involved in the leaking of Valerie Plame Wilson's identity, and a bunch of John Does who they hope to discover through the investigation process.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate it. And anything that we can do to get these guys out, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for the call today, and it's great to have you listening.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, very good. Iris in Arinda, listening on Green 960. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much, and welcome.
Well, thank you.
I'm so happy to hear your voice. I was telling the fellow who answered the phone that you have a beautiful speaking voice.
Oh, it's been very good to me, Iris.
Yes, it has. And I like the content of what you have to say. And I like the fact that you are reasonable in what you say and that you're willing to listen to other points of view.
Well, thank you. I what you just said is very gratifying, because that's what we put out. And in the radio business, we don't always know that we're being perceived the way we expect to, or you know what I mean?
Yes,
so
I do know.
That's important validation, and I appreciate that.
All right. And just, are you going to be a regular on this station?
Well, I just have to be honest, Iris, that we are in long-term discussions with Green 960, and we have been awaiting final approval of the Peter B. Collins Show there, and that's as much as I know right now. If I knew more, I would tell you.
Well, that's good enough.
Well, we're here today, so I don't know exactly what will happen on Monday, but that's what makes life exciting, you know?
It does. And keep up the good work, and I will continue to listen to you and the rest of the talk show hosts on this station, because I actually feel like I'm hearing truth instead of propaganda.
Well, we do our best, but I want to be honest that I don't believe that I'm totally fair or totally balanced, and I would never make an outrageous claim the way Fox News does.
No, I know I'm biased, but I still feel as though I get a lot more factual information from this station than I do from any other source.
Well, I think you're probably
right. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're probably right. Especially, I mean, people like Tom Hartman. I think Tom is a real a standout radio host. Whether you agree with his politics or not, he's a brilliant guy who knows American history backward and forward. And I learn a lot listening to him every time I turn it on.
Yes, well, we're taking a cruise, and I understand you're going. Are you going to be on that cruise?
I am not on the Air America cruise. No, some people think that I'm part of Air America, but in fact, I am independent. The Peter B. Collins Show is not affiliated with Air America or with Nova M or any other radio company. It's all my fault.
But I could, if under some unfortunate aspect you do not become a regular on 960, then I can find you by
Peter B.
Googling
Collins,
your name.
PeterBCollins.com. They named the website after me, and Green 960 hosts our podcasts every day. So if there's any change on the radio lineup, you should still be able to find the program there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Iris. Great to hear from you. Appreciate the kind words. Ralph in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to get my opinion in on this impeachment issue.
Please do.
I think it's absolutely critical. I think what we have, this current regime, is a result of 30 years of sweeping criminal activity by Republicans under the rug.
Well, also, Dick Cheney has had an intentional revision of the Constitution in mind without the benefit of amending the document. And
yes,
given that he's a guy who served, I think, three or four terms in the House of Representatives, he's somebody who should have some appreciation for the framework the Constitution provided, the separation of powers, the checks and balances, the need for the executive branch to get approval from the House and the Senate on spending and on critical issues. And he has operated like a bulldozer over the Constitution.
He's operated like a dictator.
Yeah.
He's operated like.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, with the Democratic front running candidate, okay, if Hillary was to ends up there being elected, she's not going to do anything. And I'm afraid that if Obama ends up in there, he's going to go Pelosi on us.
Well, I have to say that I do share your concern, Ralph, that the articulation we've heard from Barack Obama about postpartisanship and, you know, trying to turn the page on the petty battles of the 90s, some of that is appealing. But if the result is the kind of unilateral disarmament where the left, Democrats, progressives, however you want to characterize us, where we end up once again having the agenda set by the right wing, which has shown no interest in compromise whatsoever. And when you go into a negotiation and you signal to the other side before they do that you're willing to compromise, you lose. And so I don't
give it away.
Yeah. I don't want to see a situation evolve here where we're trying to be so nice and all get along Rodney King style that we forget the way that Republicans really raped the Constitution, ran right over the rights of the minority when the Democrats were in that position, and they've been obstructionists to the Democratic majority in this past year in every way they possibly could. And so to read that as an opportunity to, you know, turn the page to, you know, Happy Valley, USA.
Well,
that's a phony dream.
He swept Iran Contra under the rug,
yep,
trying to make nice with these people. And what did he get out of eight years? He got absolutely no cooperation with him, even though he gave him NAFTA and he gave him WTO and he gave him the GATT,
welfare reform, Wall Street economics,
everything.
Yeah.
Everything, yes.
Yeah, he was a great compromiser, and I know that people who did well in the 90s look back on it and say, oh, he was a great president. But he really only is a great president when you look at the guy before him and the worst guy after him.
Yes.
Ralph, I got to run to a break. Great to have you listening.
Okay, thank you.
Can I send you a DVD of the film Uncounted?
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
hold on here. Brian will get your address. All you got to do is agree to show it to at least 10 people, not all at one time.
I'll do that.
Okay, Ralph, great. Hold on, and thanks for listening to the PBC show. Lines open if you want to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
I'm Erica Martin with a look at KRXA traffic. Problems in Prunedale, it's debris. Castroville Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. Boxes straddle across the roadway. In Greenfield, problems with plastic bin in the right-hand lane. It's northbound 101 after Thorn Road. And a little problem in Hollister, Fairview Road at Ridgemark Drive. It's two-car crash, although it has been pushed to the shoulder. Traffic is brought to us again by Carfax. That used car you're buying, does it smell a little fishy? It may have been damaged in the floods of Hurricane Katrina. The government warns that flood-damaged cars are not safe. Ask for a Carfax vehicle history report or simply go to Carfax.com. Checking that forecast again, high surf advisory in effect from midnight tonight until 10 a.m. on Saturday. Partly cloudy skies for those of us not heading to the water. Partly cloudy skies continue tomorrow. We're looking for sunshine to happen for us on Sunday. Current temperature, it is right now 50 degrees here in Monterey. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And go ahead and crank this up. If you're stopped at a traffic light next to a car that's a representative of the hip-hop nation and they're putting out the big bass line from that subwoofer that's about 6 feet in diameter in the trunk, go ahead and compete with them.
If you know what I mean, let's do the wild thing.
Thank you, Tone. Wow. 24 minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B, if you would like to join in. And Eric from Fair Oaks has a fair comment. Last hour, we were talking with Robert Perry, and he talked about the shock DJ zoo crew members who went to a Hillary Clinton rally in New Hampshire and taunted her with the shout, "Iron my shirts." And I referenced the scene on the Bay Bridge that followed Bill Clinton's alleged haircut on the tarmac at LAX. And Eric correctly points out that it was an urban legend and that actually didn't delay flights at LAX. But I was actually referring to the way DJs capitalized on that, and the two people involved in that stunt on the Bay Bridge both make big, big fat salaries today. So those kinds of stunts appear to help people improve their radio careers. This coming week, on the 15th of January, I'm going to be originating this program live from Sacramento in the studios of KSAC, that's Talk City, 1240. And then I will be at the Crest Theater, along with filmmaker David Earnhardt and Brad Friedman, our friend from bradblog.com, and others, as we present the West Coast premiere of the documentary Uncounted. So, Sacramento, I hope you can join us. The Crest Theater, this coming Tuesday, there are two screenings at 5:30 and 8 p.m. And if you're there, don't be shy. Come up and say hello. I don't bite, and I love to meet people. And also, you'll be disappointed at how I look, and I'll be shocked at how you look as compared to the way you sound when you call into the program. Robert in Sacramento, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. You know, I think the reason we're in the problem we are right now is basically election fraud, because these guys wouldn't have got in if the election process had been legitimate.
Well, you have a major point there, and I wish that, in particular, Democrats would be more vigilant about these issues.
Well, I think Dennis Kucinich is doing what David Cobb of the Green Party did in Ohio. And, you know, there are some people in jail from the Republican Party for throwing that election in Ohio, and I hope that people get behind Dennis and support him in this New Hampshire thing, because I think fraud is, like in 2004, apparently Gephardt went to Kerry and said, "I count more votes for me than you," and Kerry's people said, "Well, it's already been counted by electronic means, so it's over."
Mm-hmm. Well, Robert, there is a little bit of discussion. I did hear just moments before we went on the air that the Secretary of State or the election officials in New Hampshire have accepted the recount demand from Congressman Kucinich. But if you can, stay tuned next hour, because yeah, Brad Friedman will air out some of the issues in the election integrity community, because recounts sometimes can wobble out of control. So
sure. What I really wanted to mention, Peter, was sure. Obama has gone and said that he wants to end the petrochemical control of our, big oil's control of our country. And recently, a scientist, Kanzus, K-A-N-Z-U-I-U-S of Erie, Pennsylvania, discovered, he was looking for a cancer cure, discovered that you can burn the hydrogen and oxygen in water, and there's three times more energy by burning the hydrogen and oxygen in water, a gallon of water, than a gallon of gasoline. You use salt in the water, mm-hmm, and a ham radio, a radio wave generator, tuned to 13.65 megahertz, apparently. Now, that's zero emissions, three times the energy, and there's no refining that goes in the process. If you go to YouTube and type in burn salt water, I mean, 95% of all petrochemicals are burned in internal combustion engines. Mm-hmm. The U.S. military uses more oil than 180 countries. So hemp can produce more than oil can. So that 5% that's used to produce agribusiness chemicals, pharmaceutical drugs, uh-huh, and things of this nature, plastics, can be produced with hemp, which absorbs carbon, four times the carbon of forests, and mm-hmm, produces oxygen and fixes nitrogen in the soil. So
okay, Robert, thanks for your call. You really deserve your own talk show. You're good. Thank you very much. Laurie in San Francisco on Green 960. You got 30 seconds.
Peter B., I just wanted to say that I got to see the documentary with the Political Senior Action Committee in Mill Valley, and it is fabulous. And, oh, my gosh, I want to have house parties all over the place.
Well, you sound like you're qualified to receive a DVD.
Oh, yes, that would be fabulous. It's everybody has to see it. It's just unbelievable.
Right,
I was
Laurie,
so mad I was crying at the end.
Laurie, hold on. We'll get you a DVD. And our Bay Area listeners can join us in Oakland at the Grand Lake Theater this coming Thursday, January 17th. 7 p.m. is the screening for Uncounted, the documentary. Thank you, Laurie. We'll take a break and return to discuss our situation with Iran and their gunboats. Trita Parsi joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are aches and pains keeping you up at night? The Amethyst Biomat is a heated healing mat that you lie on to relax, energize, detoxify, alkalize, eliminate pain, depression, insomnia, and improve your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is simple, safe, and effective to use in your bed or massage table. Comes in 5 sizes and is used by individuals and alternative holistic practitioners worldwide. Imagine doing nothing and achieving everything. Call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262 or visit amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. And start sleeping tonight. That's 1-888-337-7262 for Rachel, or browse to amethystbiomat.com and get the good night's sleep you deserve.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
Earlier this year, or last year, on the campaign trail, John McCain said that was one of his favorite songs and tried to sing it himself a cappella. And over the last few months, I've played this song occasionally, and some people really hate it. I have said that when I get 10 emails demanding that I stop playing it, I will, and we're up to 6. So you got your work cut out. Go ahead and weigh in if it really offends you. Trita Parsi joins us again today. He is the president of the National Iranian American Council, an adjunct professor of international relations at Johns Hopkins at the School of Advanced International Studies. He is a former Capitol Hill staffer, and his latest book is called Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Israel, Iran, and the United States. Trita Parsi, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much.
How are you today?
Can't complain.
Well, good. I wanted to start off by reading a couple of quotes here from your book, because I think it will help our listeners understand the context of the ensuing discussion. You write here under the heading, Washington's Options Between a Rock and a Hard Place. When it comes to Iran and the Israeli-Iranian rivalry, conventional wisdom says that Washington doesn't have any good options, but some are worse than others. Some are built on fancy theories that have little connection to reality, similar to Israel's insistence on remaining loyal to the periphery doctrine of the 1980s, even after Khomeini had seized power in Iran. The Israelis' worldview is based on rather simplistic assumptions about the mechanisms of international relations that failed to take into account Iran's conflicting interests. On the one hand, Israel believed that the Arab-Israeli rift was so deep that no real peace with the Arabs was achievable. On the other hand, it assumed that Iran reasoned along the same lines that Israel did. Iran would always be at odds with its Arab neighbors because of the Arab-Persian rift. And a little bit later you write, this same divorced from reality outlook has characterized the Bush administration's approach to the Middle East since September 11. One fantasy in which the Bush White House has invested much energy and hope is regime change in Iran, which itself is based on the idea that with a different regime ruling Tehran, the problems between the U.S. and Iran, as well as Israel and Iran, would more or less automatically be resolved. Well, I lifted that because I think it's a great way to describe where we have been. And this past week, we saw an incident in the Persian Gulf near the Straits of Hormuz between a U.S. Convoy, 3 Navy ships, and some Iranian boats. And President Bush is touring various Middle East countries this week, working on his legacy. Pardon me. And trying to impose his deadline of when his term expires on the parties, the Palestinians and the Israelis. Has anything changed since you wrote the characterization that I just read, Trita Parsi?
Surprisingly little, I would say. Unfortunately, we are still continuing our policies based on assumptions that even the U.S. government itself has now debunked. We have an NIE coming out that shows a completely different assessment of Iran's nuclear program than that which the Bush administration was talking about. Yet the Bush administration is pursuing the same policy by and large as if the NIE had not come out. And I think that's very problematic because at the end of the day, when we pursue a policy based on false assumptions, it is the United States of America itself that at the end of the day will pay the price for that by undermining its own interests.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk now about the incident that occurred this past Sunday, American time. It has been a matter of dispute between Tehran and Washington. It's kind of a YouTube match where we've got a video and they've got a video, and we say their video is doctored and they say our video is doctored. And fundamentally, it's tragic that as Americans, we have to question the information that comes out of the Pentagon and say, well, gosh, is this true? Is it doctored? And we have learned that the video that was released to the American media by the U.S. military had been doctored. And at minimum, the audio track was not coming off of the video. It was mixed in, and we don't know exactly where it came from. That said, do you believe either version of these events, Trita Parsi?
I'm not so sure. I mean, and my first reactions to this was that we don't have enough information. And with every videotape, it seems, in reality, that rather than answering the question, the new videos just bring about new questions. And I think the most important thing is that we may actually not be able to fully find out what has happened. But what we can conclude is that in this atmosphere, in this situation of no war, no peace between the United States and Iran, a small incident like this, whether intentional or accidental, unfortunately can spark a larger war with unpredictable repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger. That's the focus I think we should have when it comes to this, because I fear it will be more or less impossible to find out exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, and we can have some relief that the Iranians didn't take any hostages or attempt to actually, you know, interfere with the convoy, which we're led to believe was in international waters. But I think your point is well taken, that a minor provocation from either side could be blown up into a major conflict. And we see that the U.S. has had this very aggressive posture. And I'm curious what your thoughts are about the conversations between Bush and Olmert this week on his visit to Israel. How do they view Iran, and what do they want from the United States in terms of confronting and confining the ambitions of Iran?
I think Israel right now is in a very difficult position. Israel is basically strategically paralyzed when it comes to its policy on Iran. It is more than the Bush administration pursuing a policy based on yesterday's facts and has not been able to adjust to today's realities. And the NIE is a prime example of that. The Israelis have for the last couple of weeks done everything they could to insist that Iran does have a nuclear weapons program in spite of the NIE and that a military option still is alive. And that's part of the reason why the rhetoric coming out of Israel has been pretty hawkish. It's not so that the Israelis themselves would be able to or likely would attack Iran if the U.S. doesn't. But the threat that they might and the perception they want to give that they may just be so crazy that they would do it is used to pressure the United States to take on a more hawkish line, mm-hmm. a hawkish line that can lead to a military confrontation. And that's where the NIE really complicated the Israeli strategy, because the NIE all but eliminated the military option, at least from the nuclear discussion. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily when it came to Iraq, but at least on the nuclear discussion.
Well, and given that, what you just said, we heard President Bush in the Middle East, in Israel, in fact, issue a statement saying that the Iranians had engaged in a dangerous provocation. And then he said that all options are on the table. Well, shouldn't we reserve all options for a much more serious event? I mean, after all, there was no contact here. While the report was that there was a radio threat that these packages they dropped in the water would explode and damage our ships, nothing actually did happen. So the rhetoric appears to be way out of line with what we know of the events that occurred.
The rhetoric, unfortunately, has been way out of line for quite some time on both sides, both from the American and the Iranian side, in my view. But I think one of the things that the American public, unfortunately, in some aspects, have let the Bush administration get away with is that when we keep on emphasizing that all options are on the table, that should also include the diplomatic option. Yet, the Bush administration has not been willing to sit down with the Iranians to negotiate the nuclear issue and all other issues without setting any preconditions. And that option is the first option that should be pursued before we're talking about war, before we're talking about using military means and potential tactical nuclear weapons. It would be quite un-American, in my view, to engage in a military conflict without first having exhausted and tried the diplomatic option, and we haven't even started doing that yet.
Right. Yeah. Trita Parsi is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As we mentioned, he formerly was an advisor on Capitol Hill, and he is now at Johns Hopkins University, and he is the author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Israel, Iran, and the United States. Very powerful book that was published in 2007. He also serves as president of the National Iranian American Council. Tell us a little more about the council, and does it have a position on the U.S. relationship with Iran at this time?
The council was formed only a couple of years ago after 9/11. It was basically a reaction to 9/11 in which we sensed that the Iranian-American community in the United States, which is approximately 1 million men strong, has been very successful, has had a great, great experience in the United States, but it has also self-marginalized itself away from political participation. And we felt that after 9/11, when knowledge and expertise on this area that is so scarce right now, but that the Iranian-American community naturally sits on, is something that they need to contribute. They need to bring this to the table because America will make much better decisions if it has access to this expertise. So we have focused on increasing the Iranian-American participation in political life here in the United States in order to make sure that that very unique and valuable perspective about this strategically important region can benefit American decision-makers.
Mm-hmm.
And on the issue of U.S.-Iran relations, our community is overwhelmingly opposed to any military action and favors exhausting all diplomatic options before anything else is tried.
And Trita Parsi, is there a website for the National Iranian American Council?
It is www.niacouncil.org.
I'm writing it down, niacouncil.org.
Correct.
Very good. Matt joins us from Sacramento. Welcome, Matt. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Trita Parsi.
Yeah, I'm curious what his opinion is, considering that the Russians just buzzing our Alaska coast with bombers, remember, right up next, and it was very threatening, remember?
Yeah.
It was only a couple of months ago.
Right.
Okay, what do we do about that? And these were bombers. They weren't speedboats.
Well, but you forget that Bush looked into Putin's eyes and saw his soul.
I just hope the world, and they do remember, if America has Alzheimer's, they don't. And when the Chinese actually hit one of our planes and it went down in China, remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do about that? So we only pick on countries that are smaller than us. How does the world look at that?
All right, Trita?
Very interesting perspective. I think that a lot of people in the world that probably would look at like that and say that the United States is turning a blind eye, not only from provocations from China and Russia, but also when it comes to the fact that a lot of America's allies in the region are actually not behaving at all in the way that we want to, but we don't say that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia, for instance, has played a rather detrimental and decisive role in Iraq by supporting insurgents and Sunni tribes and indirectly al-Qaeda. It's not necessarily done through the government, but there's a lot of money flowing into Iraq from Saudi Arabia that is benefiting these elements. Yet we're not talking about it that much. In fact, we focus all of our energy on pointing out whatever negative the Iranians and the Syrians may be doing.
Yeah.
And that type of a selective perspective doesn't win us a lot of credibility, and it doesn't win us a lot of support.
Matt,
well, you have my deepest sympathy.
Matt, thank you for a great question. Good to have you listening to the program. We'll take a break and return with Trita Parsi. As we mentioned, president of the National Iranian American Council and the author of this powerful book, Treacherous Alliance. We'll continue, and you can join in. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com.
Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Well, TGIF, everybody, taking a look at traffic here on KRXA. It's looking pretty good for a Friday, although we do have a couple of problems. We're going to start off with a rather serious situation in SoCal. SoCal, San Jose Road at Olive Springs, injury crash. This is a solo vehicle that overturned and landed on its roof in a ditch. Now, emergency crews are on scene. They're blocking both lanes while they recover the car. Obviously, fire department, paramedic crews are on scene, as you might imagine, and they are going to transport some folks to a hospital. Monterey, southbound 1 before Highway 68, we have an injury crash. Paramedics, fire department on scene. Three vehicles are blocking the right lane, and again, emergency crews are on scene handling the situation. Well, don't let dry, itchy skin keep you awake at night. Get fast, soothing relief with Gold Bond Medicated Lotion. It's the moisturizing fix that medicates. Gold Bond Medicated Lotion for fast relief. That's traffic on KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman from Bradblog joins us right after the top of the hour. We're going to talk about questions that result from the way the votes were counted in New Hampshire in the primary this week. We continue with Trita Parsi. He's president of the National Iranian American Council. Again, their website, niacouncil.org. And his book is called Treacherous Alliance, subtitled The Secret Dealings of Israel, Iran, and the U.S. And, Trita, as recently as just a couple of months ago, we had multiple U.S. carrier groups in the Persian Gulf. The rhetoric and the political intrigue around the Kyle Lieberman amendment that Hillary Clinton supported and other Democrats did not came to center stage. And it really appeared that we were looking for a provocation that we could respond to. Following the release in early December of the updated national intelligence estimate saying that a lot of that rhetoric was false about Iran's efforts to develop a nuclear weapon, it appeared that we had backed away from that doomsday moment. What is your current estimation of the bellicosity, if you will, the desire for war harbored by Bush and Cheney toward Iran?
I would say that in many ways the situation is less grave than what it was back in the fall of 2007. Clearly the NIE, as we discussed earlier, has made it much more difficult to create a basis for war with Iran based on a nuclear program, mindful of the fact that the NIE says that they currently do not have a weapons program, which is in stark contrast to what Condoleezza Rice was saying just weeks before, because then she was saying that the Iranians categorically were lying when they said that they didn't have a nuclear weapons program. Turned out that the NIE was not in support of what she was saying. But there are many differences between the United States and Iran. There are many difficulties that remain because the conflict was never truly centered around the nuclear issue alone. There was also Iraq and many other issues. And Iraq remains in place. And although the Pentagon is now saying that they're not seeing the IEDs coming in from Iran as they did before, and that they've ascribed that to a decision by the Iranian leadership to clamp down on that, that could also be very positive. But I think at the end of the day, the only thing that can truly change the nature of the relationship and ensure that we will walk away from being on the brink of war with each other is by having a formal negotiation, a full-scale negotiation, broad-based, addressing all the issues that separate the two countries.
Let's take a call. It's John in Carmel Valley, listening to KRXA 540. Hello, John. You're on the air.
A couple of weeks ago, I heard, didn't get his name, but he was a fairly important official in the Israeli government, not only denouncing the intelligence report, the one that you've been referring to that has lessened the threat of an atomic development in Iran.
Right.
He said that it was not only that the threat was all there, but he said if we did not deal, because Israel wants us to intervene militarily and is leaning hugely on us to do this, he said Israel and the Jewish people would go through another Holocaust. Those were his words. I heard him say that. And I think Israel's policy is just, especially that kind of remark, is bombastic and paranoid. I'm horrified that they have a more warmongerish policy than Bush, and I'll bet you Bush has heard this told to him over and over again as he's gone on his tour in Israel, this kind of thinking, so that I hope when he gets back, it hasn't unduly influenced him any more than he was predisposed to be influenced.
All right, Trita, what's your reaction to John's comment?
I think John, in many ways, is right that there is pressure from the Israelis leaning on the United States to take military action. The NIE made that much more complicated, and that has infuriated the Israelis. But at the same time, I think what the Israelis are doing and this policy of trying to pursue a military option or making that the most viable option is bad for Israel itself. And Israel would not be benefiting from such a military conflict, and it's because of a basic strategic paralysis in Israel that they're going on this autopilot and they're pursuing the same policy as if the NIE had not come out, as if Iran already did not have 3,000 centrifuges, as if the United States is not in a major dilemma in Iraq. They're completely ignoring these realities and pursuing a policy based on the world that existed perhaps 10 years ago.
And Trita, I do understand that Israel has long-term concerns about the military buildup in Iran, including the potential for nuclear weapons. But isn't this short-term, or at least in the near term, more focused on their concern about Hezbollah and the lingering bad taste from the drubbing they got from Hezbollah in the summer of 2006?
Yes, I think that's true. However, rhetorically, they're not focusing on that because that is not as efficient of an argument if you want to lean on the United States and pressure the U.S. to pursue a more bellicose and a more militaristic approach towards Iran. So as a result, whereas that in reality is the more primary concern, it is not reflected in the rhetoric that Israel currently is using.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we would do Israel itself actually a huge favor if we actually did have negotiations, because I think that Israel can use its friendship with the United States, use its influence with the United States to ensure that in a dialogue between the United States and Iran, Israeli concerns would also be considered, Israeli interests would also be respected.
All right, let's get a quick comment from Andre in Berkeley on Green 960. Hello, Andre.
It's understandable that the Israelis overreact a little bit. If you talk to organizations who have in their basic papers that they want to extinguish every single Israeli, and yes, if America would withdraw its military help, there would be a Holocaust. They've said it, they've tried it, and they would do it again. Do I agree with overstatements like nuke them? No, absolutely not. But it's really way too easy to say, hey, guys, you're bad because you would like to live. that's all what I want to say.
Okay, Andre, you're entitled to that, and I appreciate you joining the program today. Trita Parsi, thank you for your commentary. Again, I want to recommend your book, Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Israel, Iran, and the U.S. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk again. That's it for this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, but stay tuned for more. Brad Friedman joins us. We're going to drill into the results from New Hampshire and see if there are any issues we ought to look at in terms of election integrity. You can join the conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Everything we know about this election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the West Coast premieres of Uncounted, Sacramento this Tuesday at the Crest Theater, 5:30 and 8 p.m., and in Oakland at the Grand Lake Thursday, January 17th, 7 p.m. Visit uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day.
This little pendant was a lifesaver.
For a free brochure, call 1-800-641-5353. That's 1-800-641-5353. Act now and receive a free smoke detector with 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-641-5353.
You're listening to the nation's progressive talk, AirAmericaRadio.com.
This is Free Speech Radio News on AirAmerica.com.
I'm Shannon Young with the headlines. Japan's lower house of parliament forced through controversial anti-terror legislation today. Debate over the bill fueled a six-month-long standoff between the ruling party's coalition and the opposition, led by the Democratic Party of Japan. The opposition-controlled upper house voted down the measure earlier this week. But in a very rare move, the lower house passed the bill by a two-thirds margin, enough for Prime Minister Yasuo Fukuda to use a Japanese legal provision which allows the lower house to override an upper house decision. Today's two-thirds override was the first time legislation has been enacted in this way in Japan since 1951. The anti-terror legislation will allow Japanese forces to resume refueling support for U.S. ships involved in Afghan war operations. A Japanese Navy tanker and frigate escort are expected to return to the Indian Ocean blockade in 3 weeks. Radio frequency identification technology has been touted as a means to keep cargo and ports safe from terrorist attack. But a recent study casts doubts on that theory. Kelly Ramirez has the story.
An experiment conducted by Powers International, a transportation security and logistics firm in North Carolina, showed that a detonator built by a college student from about $20 worth of Radio Shack parts could pick up a signal from an RFID reader and set off a small explosive charge set in an empty container. What may be even more disturbing is the lack of cooperation and response to the experiment by several government agencies. Dr. Jim Jamansky is chairman of Powers International.
We even had the local port director in Charlotte, North Carolina, who declined to participate, who declined to attend. We were in many ways impeded by CBP with requests we made to use one of their proximity readers, and same thing with the Department of Defense. Oh, we can't let you use our stuff, and, you know, we've tried everything.
Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat of Texas, of the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security, plans to investigate the Department of Homeland Security's lack of response to the Powers study. For FSRN, I'm Kelia Ramirez.
And those are the headlines. I'm Shannon Young.
For more free speech radio news, visit FSRN.org. This is AirAmerica.com.
is your home for progressive tech. AirAmericaRadio.com.
On the next Theater Pigeon Lionel show, I promise I will eventually stop talking about Chris Matthews, finally, but after just a few moments taking credit for predicting his collapse before anyone else, complimented by the thorough analysis from our good friends at Media Matters. Man, the list of quotes they found amazing. Plus, Dana Nobank will join me to dissect the inside of the Washington Beast and stuff. Plenty of stuff, the likes of which you cannot imagine even if you are on government-provided LSD on The Lionel Show.
Call now for home delivery of the New York Times.
I can get everything I need to know from the New York Times.
It's thought-provoking.
It helps keep me inspired. More prepared for the week.
In the know.
What people are talking about.
The big picture. The New York Times tells me in depth what I want to know.
It gives me an edge.
It opens my eyes.
It engages you.
You're always learning something new that you couldn't really get anywhere else.
Click on the web banner in your player to get home delivery of the New York Times at a discount of up to 50%. Visit nytimes.com or click on the web banner right now to get your subscription today.
Homeowners, has your adjustable interest rate mortgage gone up? Way up? Fix it at Zoom Credit. At the speed of light, get a fixed rate that's refreshingly low. With one application, you'll receive up to four offers from our network of lenders. Apply now at Zoom413.com. Go to Zoom Credit to refinance your home. Everyone who applies receives a free home appraisal. For car loans, debt settlement, debt consolidation, Zoom Credit is America's financial supermarket. Apply online at Zoom413.com for low-interest credit cards. Zoom Credit has credit cards that rebuild your credit. Everyone is approved. No matter what your credit score, go to Zoom and watch it soar. Apply online at Zoom413.com. That's Zoom413.com. Your lower interest rates, new car, extra cash are just seconds away. Apply online now at Zoom413.com. That's Zoom413.com. Zoom Credit. People tested. Credit approved.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom87.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Hand-counted paper ballots. Hand-counted paper ballots. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show featuring Brad Friedman.
Sometimes you start feeling so lost and lonely. Then you find it's all been in your mind. Sometimes you think someone is the one and only. Can't you see?
That's right, you can't get what you want until you know what you want. So what do we want? Do we want a recount in New Hampshire? I'm not sure. I look to a higher power, and he arrives just in time. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in the classic green. How are you, Brad?
I'm exhausted. How are you?
Well, let's just check in on the human front first. How much sleep have you had over the last 5 nights?
Well, yeah, the good news is last night I did go to sleep.
Good.
So that's a step up certainly from the night before.
So you're more lucid than at any time this week.
Well, I won't go that far, but I did go to sleep last night.
All right. And what is the Brad Blog diet when you're on constant deadline, breaking news, and you know, things just falling off the shelf. Cigarettes, coffee. Are you a Diet Coke guy?
No, you pretty much nailed it. That's it. Nicotine and caffeine pretty much to keep me going, such as I'm still going.
And we have pizzas brought in at intervals, or
when we're lucky. Yes, Desi will throw something under the door of my office, which I appreciate, by the way. Don't misunderstand me.
Well, I'm glad. Does she iron your shirts too? We should check them.
Well, you'll let me know next Tuesday how ironed they are.
Well, Brad is coming to Sacramento. Looking forward to seeing you again. We'll be there for the West Coast debut of the documentary Uncounted, which features Brad Friedman and other election protection individuals. And so join us at the Crest Theater. There are two showings on Tuesday, January 15th at 5:30 and 8 p.m. And I'll be there after the first showing and before the second. I'd love to meet all our Sacramento listeners one at a time, please. And we will originate the program from the studios of 1240 Talk City, KSAC, on Tuesday, January 15th. So it's going to be quite a day. And David Earnhardt is flying in from Nashville. He's the producer-director of the documentary Uncounted. And all of us will also be in Oakland next Thursday, the 17th of January, at the Grand Lake Theater. Showtime there is 7 p.m.
And, you know, Peter, I was talking to David Earnhardt, filmmaker, about this just last night at some point. I could not come up with a more appropriately timed title for that film than Uncounted at this time.
Well, yeah. Let's dive into New Hampshire. It was snow-free for the primary election, but many questions remain. And let's try to do it in sequence here, and then it'll all fall together or fall apart. We'll see. But before the election, a poll released Sunday showed Barack Obama. There were eight different polls. The lowest margin that he showed in besting Hillary Clinton was about 6.5 to 8 points. The highest was in the 13 range. And even the Clinton and Obama campaigns have acknowledged that their internal polling was in that zone, at least 8 points in favor of Obama. Then certain events took place. There was the Saturday night debate. There was the Iron My Shirt Scream Fest with a couple of shock jock representatives from Boston. There was the almost tearful moment of Hillary on video that got certainly whipped around the blogosphere and the web in very short order at very high volume. And then there was the turnout, which showed that women did turn out in higher numbers than 2004 and higher numbers than expected. But there are anomalies. The exit polls that were conducted, and there's some questions about the scientific level of the exit polls, but the exit polls reportedly showed no less than an 8-point margin for Barack Obama. And there are some anomalies that have arisen about ballots that were counted by hand and ballots that were counted by machine at different precincts and tabulation centers around the state of New Hampshire. So is that a pretty good summary of you know, the sequence of events?
It is. It is a good summary. The most notable point for me, or at least the trigger here for me, and still the rock-bottom concern that I have, is the fact that 80% of those ballots in New Hampshire were counted on the same Diebold optical scan machines that we saw hacked in the film, the HBO film, Hacking Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they are controlled by a single company by the name of LHS Associates, not a very good company. They control, and I can detail why in a bit, but they control the entire process, every vote cast and counted on those machines. Before they do the programming, the servicing for those machines, they control the vote in New Hampshire before, during, and after elections. And what we've got is 80% of the votes in the state of New Hampshire have not been counted by anyone. They have not been verified by anyone. Not a single one to my knowledge. They've been run through these machines that were programmed by somebody. They reported some results. And the interesting thing, the remarkable thing here, is that when these results came up, as anomalous as they were, you know, you've got these polls, let's set aside the exit polls for a moment, the pre-election polls.
Mm-hmm.
You've got dozens and dozens of different pollsters, all of whom independently and transparently, I might add, came up with almost exactly the same results in every case.
Right.
And they were right dead on the money on the Republican side, and they were pretty much dead on the money on the Democratic side as well, except for the Obama-Clinton race.
Right.
Now, for example, Zogby had predicted John Edwards would get 17 points. And, in fact, he did. Got 17% of the vote. Exactly. Only those Obama-Clinton numbers were off, out of whack. Now, when these anomalous results came in then, the first thing that everyone asked and have continued to ask is, gosh, why were the polls so wrong? Nobody virtually has been asking, well, do we know for a fact that the results are right? And that seems to me to be a fairly reasonable question to ask. And I have asked that question. And, well, the response that I've that has occurred in the wake of that has been interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But seems a rather reasonable question to ask. And yet it seems like it's out of left field that you would ever wonder such a thing. And, boy, listeners to your show, Peter B., week after week when I'm on here, and even when I'm not, I think they would know well by now that there are concerns about these systems. And if you're going to have an election as important as this, with a result as anomalous as this, and I would argue, you know, even if the results weren't as anomalous, it might be a good idea to count the ballots, don't you think?
You're guilty of Sherlockian reasoning here, Brad.
It's killing me, this this reasoning. I have to, apparently, what I need to do is go into speculation and conspiracy theory the way the pollsters and pundits have, as far as how so many people could have gotten the polls so wrong. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're speculating about what might have happened. There is no evidence that the polls were actually wrong. Let's count the ballots, find out if, in fact, the polls were wrong, or if the ballots were somehow counted incorrectly, whether that was by error, by mischief and skullduggery. Let's find out. Crazy idea, I know.
Yeah, and Brad, what is your view of the exit polls? I've only heard television reports, and I have not been able to drill down into those issues myself. I've heard criticisms from the Clinton camp of the way that the exit polls were conducted. They said they were a bunch of kids, it was disorganized, it was kind of random. And so have you been able to evaluate the exit polls, and are they reliable?
No, I have not been able to evaluate them. Nobody has, at least nobody publicly has. And I would caution people, because I've seen a lot of people who have tried to discourage folks like me who have said, well, there's no problem here because the exit polls showed exactly what the results did. Now, those exit polls that you're looking at when you see them on CNN and MSNBC and so forth, those are adjusted exit poll data. In other words, when the polls close on election night, they adjust the exit poll data to match the results of the election.
I see.
Okay, so anything in general, anything that you've seen about the exit polls is based on that adjusted data, which is already adjusted, you know, so that it fits with the results that they had. I know it seems somewhat counterintuitive that they do that, but that's what they do. And we learned that in 2004 after when all the unadjusted data began to leak out, and that's where we heard that John Kerry had been winning in all of those swing states that he ended up not winning. The exit polls in that case, and after that election, they vowed never to release that unadjusted raw data again, because the pollsters themselves have disavowed that data and their own polls. That was Matofsky Edison. And have said that they got it wrong, that and people misinterpreted because it hadn't been adjusted yet once the polls closed, and that they completely screwed up the polling, and naturally the media has, the corporate mainstream media has naturally hired the same group again in 2008. So they're the ones who did the exit polling this year.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com is with us this entire hour. We're going to go to the phones in the next segment, so if you have a question or comment about New Hampshire or elections in general, bring it on now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And as we continue, we'll talk about the prospect of a recount, the Kucinich request, and just whether it might change any minds or not. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Tonight we're going to tell you a little bit about a problem in Soquel, and it's Soquel San Jose Road at Olive Springs Road, an injury crash. It was a vehicle that actually overturned, landed on its roof in a ditch. We still have emergency crews on scene that would be CHP, paramedics, and fire department. They're trying to recover this car. They need a tow truck to retrieve it and upright the vehicle. Monterey, southbound 1 before Highway 68, injury crash, three vehicles blocking the right lane. Fire department and paramedic crews also there. Watsonville, San Andreas Road at West Beach, injury crash, a man into utility pole, and fire department on scene there. Lines are down, so they're going to have to call for PG&E to come out to the scene there. About Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel, looking pretty good at this point. Save big during Mancini Sleep World triple bonus mattress sale. It'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10%, or your mattress is free. Call 800-64-SLEEP or log on to sleepworld.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
Tuesday in November, took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll.
It's the Peter B. Show.
Lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I that, but my vote was sent. And now nobody knows exactly where it went. I lost my vote. It isn't fair. I took a stand. Doesn't anybody care? They lost.
We're talking about elections, election integrity. And in particular, this week's New Hampshire primary. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, citizen journalist and our go-to guy on election issues, is with us this hour. And you can, well, you can't call in right now because all the lines are jammed. Let's clear one and talk to Joel, who's driving on 280. Joel, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Couple points that I'd like to make. First off, I was listening to Stephanie Miller this morning. She had Dennis Kucinich on as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis Kucinich said that he has filed a lawsuit, and apparently as a candidate, it's my understanding that as a candidate in the New Hampshire primary, he is entitled to file a lawsuit and demand a recount. And in fact, he said on the air that they would be recounting the votes.
Well, he has filed. I don't believe it's a lawsuit. I think it's just a petition to the Secretary of State in New Hampshire. Let's get the lowdown from Brad. And, Brad, as you talk about it, give us the pros and cons of conducting a recount in this case.
Yeah, he has, in fact, asked for a recount. And, in fact, late news here that comes from our friend Tom Corbett down there in Riverside County, California. The recount is, in fact, now scheduled for January 16th. That's in between our screenings of Uncounted in Sacramento and Oakland. So the recount will begin, according to the Secretary of State's website in New Hampshire, next, what is that, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
He has, in fact, he asked for this recount late last night. We've got quite a bit of detail over at BradBlog on it, so check that out for more. But in fact, there are concerns at this point about the chain of custody of those paper ballots. As we saw, you know, they've sort of been out of sight here for the last 4 or 5 days since the Tuesday election, and since all of the questions and all of the attention has come on them. Now, remember, as I said before the break, we've got one private firm, and not a completely, not one that's on the up and up, frankly. One of the top executives there was found, for example, to have pled guilty in 1990, we just learned last week, to narcotics trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's reasons to be concerned about this company. There's reasons to be concerned about what has become of the chain of custody of those ballots and if, in fact, they have been secure.
Now, that, I think that's a little unfair because everybody knows that drug runners keep very accurate records of quantities and cash.
Well, Peter,
can I ask one other question?
Joel.
Always see the positive side, Peter.
Joel, go ahead.
Okay, I actually would like to make a comment. I'd be interested in hearing your guest's view on this. To me, New Hampshire highlights the fact that we seem to have gotten this whole thing ass backwards. And what I mean by that is it seems as if the mainstream media is so focused on polling and getting the odds right and getting the pundits right, and no one's talking about issues. You know, if I'm looking for odds, I'll go to Vegas where at least I can get free drinks. So I think the whole thing seems to be turned upside down, and I'm interested in hearing what your guest has to say.
All right, Brad, we're interested. Go ahead.
I completely concur with the caller. It's no longer about the issues. It's about the horse race. It's something that, frankly, I try to avoid at bradblog.com because it seems there's enough people out there who have, frankly, opinions and speculation on that. It's all opinion. It's all speculation. You know, opinions are nice, but there's plenty of other people who are dealing with that, that you're right, they're not dealing with the issues. And that is, aside from the horse race, those are the two things. A, certainly the issues, what these, both of these, all of these candidates actually stand for, believe in, what they will do about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, if you don't report, if you don't, deal with the way that we elect these people, then all of the issues and all of the discussion about that issue, about those issues, ultimately doesn't matter if at the end of the day the guy or the girl who the voter wants doesn't actually get to serve.
Yeah.
You know, if the one who received the most votes doesn't get put in office, what does all the discussion about the issues even mean?
Yeah.
So I'd certainly be happy if they moved from the horse race to the issues. I'd be happier still if they moved at that point over to the way our democracy works or doesn't, because I think it's damned important, and certainly New Hampshire highlights that. look, guys, we're going to see this now week after week after week, in election after election for I don't know how long, unless something is done about this problem.
Well, and the senior citizen at NBC, Tom Brokaw, was occasionally permitted on the tube the other night, and at one point he just blurted it out. You know, we ought to report the results instead of trying to predict them. That is a novel idea. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll talk about more of the prospects of a recount in New Hampshire and also the differential between paper ballots and the machine counts. It's ahead right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help you get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in expert guests and we'll do it with humor. The Sheila Show, Saturday, 3 to 5, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
And a shout-out from the Peter B. Collins Show to our brand-new listeners in Missoula, Montana, tuned in to KMPT 930 Progressive Talk. Great to have you with us. And our friend Biz in Montana, who listens online, now has another option. I'm delighted for that. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're doing a little post-mortem on the New Hampshire election this past Tuesday and seeing what lessons we can learn from it. And we were talking about Dennis Kucinich and the recount. Let's take a minute here to talk about the issues related to debate participation. Tyra has a comment from Sebastopol, listening on Green 960. Hi, Tyra.
Hi, it's Tara, T-A-R-A.
Okay, my apology. Tara.
This is a little bit off topic, so you can cut me short if you want. I just got a note from the Kucinich campaign that NBC decided not to invite him to the debate in Nevada after all.
Right, they uninvited him.
And I'm just wondering if people were to call the Barack Obama and Clinton and John Edwards on Monday, if there might be some way to get him back in. And I wonder if there's any relationship between his requesting a recount and then getting this.
Okay, good comments. First of all, this is one of the frustrations of this campaign cycle, where the networks are using shifting criteria as to who gets to participate and who doesn't. And Ron Paul was excluded from one Fox debate and then included in the one Thursday night. Dennis Kucinich has been excluded more often than included in recent weeks, and his showing in New Hampshire before any recount was very low. It fell below the 5% threshold that has generally been set. So he's got a problem there, but, you know, I believe that we should hear from all of the active candidates and that the network shouldn't interfere with that communication process. But Brad, to the point about his call for a recount, whether that might have affected NBC's decision, you have a thought?
Ah, well, that's an interesting point. I don't know when they rescinded that, if it was before or after he asked for this recount. I certainly don't think they needed this as an excuse to ask him to not participate. Had he previously been invited to participate?
In Nevada, yes. Apparently he was.
And then they changed
the criteria. That's extraordinary. And, I guess we have to add to the list of media not reporting on the issues, not reporting on how our election system works. I guess we also have to point out that they are picking and choosing ultimately who it is that America gets to pick and choose from by the way they do this stuff. It's crazy.
Tara and Brad, here's a press release issued from the Kucinich campaign today. Less than 44 hours after NBC sent a congratulatory note and an invitation to Dennis Kucinich to participate in the Jan 15 debate in Las Vegas, they notified the campaign it was changing its criteria, rescinding its invitation, and I was going to add something flippant, but I won't.
Yeah, they changed the criteria very soon after they invited him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up. Okay. I don't think it's directly connected. And, Brad, let's use that as a springboard here to talk about the pros and cons of a recount, because Bev Harris and others in the election integrity movement have been sending emails cautioning. And Paul Leto, too, our colleague who is the legal counsel in many of these post-election disputes, he is saying, number one, that often recounts really are rejiggered to produce the same result. When you recount machine votes, you pretty much get garbage in, garbage out. And so there are some people who think that it may be the wrong strategy in terms of trying to expose any anomalies or problems if the only avenue sought is a recount.
That's certainly a point well taken. And in fact, and to be clear, the Kucinich campaign did not consult with me before they went ahead and announced that they were going to be asking for a recount. It might have been more appropriate, to ask for an investigation into what happened out there and into this company that runs this election. Ultimately, I think putting a spotlight on what the ballots actually said via a recount, it shouldn't be called a recount, it's a count. I think that's an important thing. Now, if you get into that count and you realize that the chain of custody cannot be accounted for, and that you don't know if, in fact, you are counting the actual ballots cast as intended, then, yeah, there's a dubious value and possibly a negative value, because the result comes out and they say, oh, look, everything was perfectly counted, everything was absolutely fine, and you shouldn't have wasted our time by actually counting the votes. And that can be used against folks. It was, you know, used against folks in 04 when Nader asked for a recount, actually up in New Hampshire, and they found it was a very small recount, but they found it mostly accurate. But, you know, for those who think that they won't or can't jigger such a recount, I will remind you that recently two election officials were sentenced to the maximum of 18 months in Ohio in Cuyahoga County after it was found that in 2004 they, in fact, rigged the recount of the presidential election. So, yep, it can be done, and we got to be vigilant about it.
Now, Brad, Mark Crispin Miller, who's a professor at New York University and is very active, he wrote a book about election issues, and in particular the problems, what I consider to be the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. And he dispatched an email with an attachment. It's a spreadsheet, and it was done by someone he has confidence in, and I want to stipulate that I have not independently reviewed this data. But it comes up with some interesting angles on the count. And as you know, many jurisdictions in New Hampshire do use the Diebold OpScan for tabulation, and there are many smaller precincts where they hand count paper ballots. And so this individual has an Excel spreadsheet, and they went through precinct by precinct and divided it up based on whether they used a machine to count or hand-counted paper ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not indicative of the number of votes involved. This is by precinct or by town. What it showed is that Barack Obama won 69% of the towns where they were hand-counting paper ballots and only 31% of the machine-count towns. And on the flip of that, Hillary Clinton won 44% of the towns where they hand-counted paper ballots and 58% of the towns where they used the machines. Does this offer anything meaningful in your view?
Well, there's actually an even more striking number that I will give you in just a second. But the fact that, yeah, in fact, Hillary did win in the Diebold counties, Diebold precincts, and Obama won in the hand count precincts. And as such as it is, 80% of the ballots in the state were counted by Diebold, 20% were counted by hand. That in and of itself does not mean much, in that the fact is, you know, perhaps, we know that where they do count by hand, they are largely the smaller towns, the more rural areas, and there may be a perfectly good explanation for why Obama is more popular in the smaller towns, the more rural areas, and Hillary Clinton is more popular in the larger cities. You know, I don't know what that reason might be, but there could be a perfectly legitimate reason. Had they both had the same percentages, essentially, in both the hand-counted areas and the Diebold areas, that would have maybe told us, well, gosh, you know, there wasn't funny business, or mm-hmm. You know, it would decrease the likelihood that there was funny business with the machines. But no, we do have a disparity there in and of itself. That disparity, however, means absolutely nothing because it's perfectly explainable. But let me toss in one more, actually two more. I know you got busy phones. Mm-hmm. Two more quick numbers here. One, you had asked earlier about the exit polls, and I cautioned folks that the stuff they see on exit polls has already been adjusted. That's adjusted data to match, specifically, purposely, to match the announced results. But some information of that raw data before it was adjusted did leak out. In fact, Chris Matthews, I believe it was day before yesterday, was talking, going on and on about how the numbers that he was able to see from those exit polls during the day before they were adjusted, in fact, showed a, quote, significant victory for Obama. And this is, again, exit polls, people coming right out of the polls, and they're saying, hey, who did you vote for? Those polls apparently were showing a big lead for Obama. I've gotten other word from another pollster who I can't say right now, but a major pollster who seems to be shoring up that information. So those are the exits. That's certainly a sign to look at. Now, going back quickly to the Diebold versus hand-counted precincts, an anomalous number found by the Election Defense Alliance here based on the New Hampshire Secretary of State's websites that I cannot explain to save my life. In the optical scan precincts, if you remove all of the other candidates, okay, mm-hmm. in the op scan precincts, Hillary Clinton received in op scan precincts 52.95% of the vote. Obama, 47.05%. In the hand-counted precincts, those numbers were flipped completely down to the thousandth of a percentage.
Ouch.
I mean, identical in op scan and in hand count, except the percentages are flipped. That, too, could be a coincidence. But for the life of me, I cannot imagine a situation where something like that would happen, down to the thousandth mm-hmm. of a percentage point.
Yeah, that's scary accurate.
Yeah.
All right, we got a bunch of callers here. Let's work through. Ron in Elk Grove on 1240 Talk City, you're next.
All right. So the word that comes to mind about New Hampshire is Bravo Sierra. It's BS, obviously. This is one of our most embarrassing, cooked and rigged affairs ever. Obama was obviously burying Clinton, and this is Exhibit A of our secret in the dark. It's a black ops effect. They talk about Tom Brady effect 25 years ago, which is bull. Now people are willing to vote for a black guy, like Obama, very very qualified in many ways, very very inspiring to independents and former Republicans like myself, Ron,
perhaps we could sit back and let you talk for the rest of the show,
yeah.
But I don't know
question.
If listeners would sit for that. Let me just ask you, what is it that convinces you that this is electronic vote fakery?
It's just a number of things that was just stated by your guest, Brad Friedman, you know. And anyways, we all know, Pete, that Hillary, for a long time, has been sort of like the bishop from Caddyshack, a lot like McCain, way, way too obsessed with getting into that office, the White House. Obviously some kind of pact with the devil or whatever. Don't forget about JFK Jr.,
Ron,
Vince Foster.
Ron, please. You're offering a rant here loaded with, what you consider to be circumstantial evidence.
JFK Jr., Vince Foster. Right.
I have to challenge you. I'm sorry. You're not offering me a rational argument for why we should be suspicious of these results.
Right. Hang on. He just told you optical scan.
I know. I'm asking you.
You flip it.
I'm asking you, and please don't Vince Foster me.
And, what he just said about exit polls.
Okay. Gotcha, Ron.
Ron.
Thank you very much. Okay. I understand. Brad, a comment?
Actually, no, because I'm actually having a very difficult time hearing. Perhaps you can pot up your caller line, because I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay.
But it sounds like you handled it well, whatever it was.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. We'll make some tweaks in the meantime. Call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast. There's a link on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA, the final traffic report of the night. and a little bit of activity to report on right now. Watsonville, San Andreas Road at West Beach, an injury crash, a van into a utility pole, and lines are down in the roadway at this point. Crews have actually shut down the roadway. PG&E crews on scene trying to repair the utility pole and dealing with the wires, as well as fire department. Also want to mention Monterey, northbound 1 at Highway 68. We have a three-car crash, right shoulder, tow trucks on scene now. Gilroy, northbound 101 after Monterey Street. A tire is in the two right lanes. Multiple vehicles apparently hit the tire. They've pulled over to the right shoulder there. And this report is brought to you by Unisom. Unisom is the only sleep aid without a prescription that is clinically proven to help you fall asleep faster, sleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. For a healthy sleep that works every time, choose Unisom. That's traffic on KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where change is in vogue. Brad Friedman's with us from bradblog.com, and we got a call from a listener who has a minor handicap. He or she does not have a computer or internet access and wants to know how they can help support the work at Bradblog. And it's right here on the homepage, where you can, and it just changed, here it is, you can send a check to Brad Friedman, F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, at 7095 Hollywood Boulevard, number 594, Los Angeles, 90028. That's 7095 Hollywood Boulevard, number 594, Los Angeles, 90028. And there are PayPal and other options if you do have internet access and credit cards and would like to help Brad continue the work that he's doing. Brad, let's see if we can take another call here. Lines are jammed, and I appreciate all the interest. Chris in Salinas, you're next here. Welcome.
Hi, this is actually Jen.
Okay, well, the lines have turned over too many times, Jen. You're next. You've got it. Go ahead.
Okay, really quick. I would think that earlier your guest had said that it was wasting time asking for a recheck on the vote, and I believe that in this arena, with all the funny business that goes on, it's prudent that they have recounts when there might be a problem. And the other point that I'm going to make is, when you compare New Hampshire to Iowa, no one is talking about the fact that in Iowa it was a caucus, it wasn't a primary, and then the other thing was that you could vote as many times as you want, didn't have to be a resident, and I would find that to be more disturbing than whether the D-vote machines were counted right or wrong.
Some errors there, if I could jump in real quick.
Go.
Yes,
one, I did not say that it was a waste of time to count the ballots.
You did. You said it might be a waste of time, and I don't think that it's a waste of time when you think that some funny business is going on. And it's clear that with...
All right, Jen,
let me answer your question because we're running out of time here.
Oh, yes, okay.
It is it can be a waste of time if you're counting ballots that have already been messed with and have been jiggered, or the count itself, if you randomly, you're supposed to randomly choose certain ballots, but the randomization is taken out of it. So if you're not counting what the ballots actually are, that is kind of a bad idea. I hope you'd agree.
Okay.
And that is the concern here. That said, the other question was, Iowa, no, you could not vote as many times as you want. I don't know where you got that impression. And, in fact, the reason Iowa went as well as it did is because it's a 100% transparent process. On, for example, on the Democratic side, they stand in a room, they say, yes, I vote for Edwards or whoever it is, and those numbers are then, when they were sent in, they were announced right there at the precinct, and then when they were sent in to the county, they were updated every 30 seconds. So it was very transparent. That's why we didn't have the problems in Ohio that we now have in New Hampshire.
Okay, I will send information regarding where I got the information. I'll send it to Peter. Okay, thank you for
taking
my call.
All right, Jen, thank you very much. Now to Ruth in San Francisco. You're on the air. Ruth, go ahead.
Hi. I'm kind of confused about all this talk about the recount. Are we saying here that Hillary cheated in the vote? And if so, it seems like it's pretty early in the process for us to turn on each other. We really need to have a Democrat in the White House this year.
Well, Ruth, that is not the point, and this is not a partisan issue. And Brad and I approach the election integrity issues as a nonpartisan matter. And so, just to be very explicit and respond directly, no one has accused Hillary or anyone on her campaign of cheating. What we are looking at is results that appear to be anomalous or hard to explain. And what we're looking for is that we don't want this process to happen, or these questions to arise with every primary and then with the general elections. And so it is important to get it right. And this is not a matter of sniping between one Democratic candidate or camp and another. Brad?
The question here is, were the results what the voters intended? And right now we've got 80% of the votes in New Hampshire in such an anomalous result. 80% of the votes have never been counted by anyone. They have not been examined by any human being. I think they should be. Now, if it turns out they were there was some error or inaccuracy in those results, it could be the result of error, just simple machine error, because we know that these Diebold opscans don't work. And yes, it could be that somebody gamed the election. It doesn't mean it was necessarily Hillary Clinton. There's a lot of folks out there who have an interest in this election, and frankly, an interest in Hillary doing well in New Hampshire. It doesn't have to have anything to do with Hillary Clinton at all, and that is only if it is found that there has been some form of monkey business.
And Ruth, let me just offer you, this is total speculation, all right, but I just want to offer you a scenario that could explain if there was any kind of chicanery. It could have been Republicans who decided they wanted to make the Democrats have a long primary contest back and forth because the Republicans don't have an easily acknowledged leader this year. They have far less money than the Democrats, and they have a vested interest in getting Obama and Clinton to spend as much as they have to win primaries so that they have less money to spend against the Republican in the fall. So that's just one possible scenario, and we are not bringing this to the fore in a way of trying to demonize any Democratic candidate. We want fair and transparent elections in every state. That's our goal.
And I don't have, by the way,
a good idea. It seems to only make sense that we all go back to paper ballots anyway. I don't know.
All right, Ruth, thanks. I would go longer, but I want to squeeze in one more caller. It's Valerie from Fremont. Valerie, just 1 minute, please.
Okay, thank you. My question is about the Republican results for the ballot, and what I've seen is that there are similar discrepancies between the paper ballot counties and the Diebold tallies on the Republican side that in particular give Ron Paul substantially more support in the paper ballot counties. And I've also heard a report that he was shown as having zero votes in a particular township. I believe it was Sutton or something. I can't remember exactly the name of the township.
Mm-hmm.
But he was shown as zero votes, and when in actuality he got 31, and the township later corrected that when these people came forward.
All right, let's get Brad's comment. Go, Brad.
She's correct. That has been confirmed. We've confirmed that with the Secretary of State. There was apparently an error where they marked down zero. It was a hand-counted area. In fact, he received 31 votes. As I said about the Clinton Obama numbers, when you compare the hand count versus Diebold counts, it doesn't tell you anything in and of itself. It's certainly worth looking into, though. Of course, we need eternal vigilance on all of these matters for all parties involved. And the fact is, I believe someone on the Republican side, a guy who received about 40 votes, may have requested a recount in New Hampshire on the Republican side, so we might see more there as well.
Brad Friedman, I'll see you Tuesday in Sacramento at the Crest Theater and in Oakland Thursday night, January 17th at the Grand Lake Theater.
See you there.
Log on to bradblog.com or Uncounted the Movie to get more particulars. San Francisco ended a political crisis as Supervisor Ed Ju resigned over issues about his residence when he became a supervisor, and now he's just going to fight the corruption charges. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Who cares about the
everything we know about this election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the West Coast premiere of Uncounted in Sacramento Tuesday at the Crest Theater, 5:30 and 8 p.m. Oakland on Thursday, January 17th at the Grand Lake, 7 p.m. Filmmakers and Brad Friedman and yours truly will be present.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
IRS for just pennies on the dollar. Assured Tax Relief can help you. Call Assured Tax Relief now. 1-800-394-9551. This is your opportunity to settle your tax debt for just pennies on the dollar. Act now before it's too late. Call Assured Tax Relief for a free consultation. 1-800-394-9551. Again, that's 1-800-394-9551.
You're listening to the nation's progressive talk. AirAmericaRadio.com.
This is Free Speech Radio News on AirAmerica.com.
I'm Shannon Young with the headlines. A team of doctors has announced that the health of Indonesia's former dictator has taken a turn for the worse, 1 week after he was hospitalized in critical condition. Chad Bouchard reports from Jakarta.
Doctors say the 86-year-old former dictator suffered multiple organ failure and became unconscious today after showing early signs of infection in his lungs. His condition improved slightly after a blood transfusion and kidney dialysis earlier this week, but deteriorated quickly today and has been placed on a ventilator. Surgeons say he needs a second pacemaker, but his condition is too frail to risk the operation. After 32 years of authoritarian rule, Suharto was forced out of office in 1998 amid a financial crisis and allegations of graft. He is accused of killing or jailing thousands of political opponents and stealing an estimated $15 to $35 billion. Suharto has denied the allegations. A series of minor strokes and declining health has kept him out of courtrooms in spite of several attempts to bring him to trial. His political party earlier this week called for prosecutors to drop pending cases against him, but the nation's attorney general refused. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Chad Bouchard in Jakarta.
California state prosecutors have formally dropped conspiracy charges against four of the San Francisco Eight. The eight men are charged with the 1971 murder of a police officer. A ninth man, charged only with conspiracy, was able to walk free from the San Francisco courthouse yesterday. All of the San Francisco Eight are former members of the Black Panther Party. The same murder and conspiracy charges they now face were dropped in 1975 after their signed confessions were deemed inadmissible due to evidence of coercion and torture. The defendants entered formal not guilty.